Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to ScaryCast, live from the sun and fun capital of the world, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is Dr. John Stamey, and boy, do we have a great show tonight. We've got singer, songwriter, entertainer, and all-around great guy, Isaiah Grass. But first of all, I want to introduce our co-host. Right now, we have Dr. Trey Donaway, the Surgeon General of ScaryCast. How are you doing tonight, Dr. Trey?
I'm doing great, John. Had a fun day today. Did all sorts of yard work, so it's good to be out of the yard.
Well, that's good. I did all kinds of running around in the northern part of the county, but it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. Saw a lot of folks that I know. And we have the Queen. The Queen of ScaryCast is here, Robin McCray. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing great. How is everybody out there?
We're good. We've got an extra special show tonight, and thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure to have you. It really is.
Can you hear me okay? Sounds kind of funny.
No, we can hear you perfectly. We're glad you're back from Nebraska and Colorado and all those conferences.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
And now you're back here with us, and you're just our buddy. So we've got our regulars here, and so glad to have every one of you. All right, now, how did this really cool show come about? Here's what happened. I frequently go on Facebook to try to meet really interesting guests. I've done it a couple of times. The first time I did was, as we all know, our first Monday Night of the Month guest, John LeMay, the amazing paranormal author. All of a sudden, he came by under this, "Do you know this guy?" Well, we talked a little bit. We've been really great friends ever since. So it's just good that you can meet some really neat people. And so there was this fellow that came up, and he started coming up a lot. He was a musician. I wasn't really familiar with him, so I checked his stuff out, and I said, "Oh, this guy's pretty good." So I sent him a friend request. Well, he's great, actually. But I sent him a friend request, and he started talking to me. And I realized this is someone that's known far and wide throughout the country and actually throughout the world. He's been associated with a lot of great events, a lot of great organizations. And I was so impressed with him, I just said, "Hey, buddy," his name was Isaiah Grass, and I said, "Isaiah, why don't you come be on my podcast?" And it didn't take him very long to say, "Well, sure, that would be great." I said, "Now, it's paranormal, but we also have, as you can tell in the write-up about it, we also have interesting guests, and you would be about as interesting and far afield as we've ever had." So he said, "Sure." We've been talking ever since. Great guy, and I want to introduce to everybody the Surgeon General, Dr. Trey, to Robin McCray, the Queen of ScaryCast, and to everybody listening, Isaiah Grass. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, thank you so much for having me today on your podcast. I'm really excited to be able to do this, and I think everyone who is actually tuning in as well, and to also the other hosts involved with this.
Hi, Isaiah.
Hi.
That's
so nice,
Robin,
to meet you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. This is definitely my first time doing a multiple host radio interview, so I'm excited to see how this is going to go.
Yeah, it's like tag team questions.
Just had a good time.
It kind of reminds me of doing a Zoom call.
Now say that again.
Oh, I said it kind of reminds me of doing a group Zoom call.
It is. We're pretty harmless.
Except we laugh more often.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I'm really happy to be a part of this.
That's good.
Well,
and since you mentioned Zoom, I will tell everybody that when we do the South Carolina Lizard Man Festival, it's probably going to be virtual again this year, and we're going to be doing it on Zoom. One of my Chamber of Commerce's that I'm a member of, the Brunswick County Chamber, they're showing me a little bit about how to operate Zoom for a big conference call. So we're going to be announcing that fairly soon. So that's going to be just a blast as well. So anyway, let's start the questions with Robin. We're going to just kind of alternate and find out a little bit about you, because I know you've got a lot of fans on this podcast, and they want to know, you know, a lot of them haven't seen everything about you, haven't read everything. So I think it's a good opportunity to, for folks to find out exactly who you are and what you've done and kind of what you've been through as you have gotten away from nobody knowing you to almost everybody knowing Isaiah Rass. Robin, why don't you get us started?
Okay, well, I would love to know where you're from, and then I would really like to know what got you involved in singing? Like, how did you initially get going with that?
Absolutely. I actually am from Aiken, South Carolina. I was born in North Carolina. My dad was in the Marine Corps. I'm sorry,
Aiken,
what did you
say? Aiken is an hour from me. I said Aiken is an hour from me.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been to Aiken, Augusta, Myrtle Beach, Columbia, so I'm very familiar with all those areas. So I actually was born in that area, and so from there I moved to different places to pursue my career. And as far as to asking me about how did I get involved in singing, when I was a little kid, I used to sing in the church choir. And then from there, I remember asking my dad if there was a way that I could go volunteer at the nursing homes. And so as a kid, I used to go to this nursing home in Aiken, South Carolina, and sing for the elderly. And that just kind of really gave me a fuzzy feeling inside and just really told me to myself that I just enjoyed singing. And that's what made me want to do it. And then from there, I graduated from a performing arts high school. And it just has kind of followed me throughout my journey of life. Yeah.
I think that's fabulous.
Thank you.
All right. Now, Isaiah, I've got to tell you something. The next time that you're in Aiken, let us know, because Robin's only an hour away, and she makes the world's best Key West sloppy joke. Fresh pineapple.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds amazing.
He is obsessed with my sloppy joes.
That's what
that
we'll
sounds
you up
really
here.
Good.
Well, I have another new recipe for them. Yeah, I have another new recipe for them that you have to try too, Jen. So it's really phenomenal. So, yeah, well, and definitely when you're in Aiken, call. Come by. We have lots of room and lots of sloppy joes.
That's so nice of you. I have not seen.
Do what?
Oh, I have not seen my family for almost 3 years now. So definitely, hopefully this year I can go visit my family and go back to Aiken to see everyone.
Well, we would love to see you if you're out this way.
Thank you. That's very kind of you.
Absolutely. And, of course, with it being Storycast, we might try to convince you to do something fun and go out on an adventure with us. So we'll see. So, Dr. Trey, what have you got to ask?
Well, Isaiah, I just wanted to back up a second. Where did you go to the Performing Arts High School? Was that in South Carolina or was that outside of South Carolina?
Actually, it was in Aiken. It was the Aiken Performing Arts Academy, and I'm not really sure if a lot of people are familiar with that, but I initially went to a public high school, and then I changed over to a performing arts high school. Honestly, those teachers were such a big influence of my life to really just inspire me. It wasn't a typical school where you just learn your curriculars. You also learn everything about theater and music theory and dance, and you learn about, you know, everything about showmanship. And it really helped me to really be able to bring that into a career path of being in music. And so I'm really grateful that I got to be a part of it. It was a very small, you know, graduation. There wasn't that many people that went to the school, but that was completely fine with me because it just gave more personal one-on-one with my teachers, and it really helped me a lot to be able to pursue what I'm doing now.
I frankly wasn't aware that there was a curriculum in a program in Aiken like that. My daughter is a visual artist, and she went to the governor's school, so I thought maybe you were at the governor's school, and that might have been a similar timing, but I got to ask you about your nursing home experience. Did you sing hymnals music at your nursing home?
I don't know what songs I sang. When I was younger, I had, like, you know, one of those karaoke machine type of with microphones, and they played the lyrics. And my dad really did take me to a nursing home. I don't want to say the name because I might forget it, but it was
It was
near Aiken Tech, I believe. And I'm not sure what the name of it was, but I remember going there a few times and singing for them just a variety of songs, whether they were hymnals or, you know, just happy songs, because I always just had this massive desire of just wanting to, you know, make those people feel, you know, that they were loved, because I remember so many times visiting nursing homes and they just didn't always seem like they were cared for as much. And I just wanted to be able to do something as a kid to really let them know that, you know, there are people out there that care about them. I feel like so many times people do neglect the elderly at nursing homes, and
we all
need to. Yeah. So, I mean, that was just
That's a great outreach for the residents of nursing homes. I'm a medical director of a small nursing home outside of Columbia, and we have a group comes in the mornings, and they sing out of hymnals, and the residents that participate really do enjoy it. But all those things, of course, for the past COVID and a half year, that's been restricted. So they just started the groups that come in to sing. I just started up last week, so I think it would get a little bit back on an even keel. But I think that's wonderful that you took your time and did that. I can tell you that your residents certainly did enjoy it.
I was going to say, years ago when I sang, that was one of the things that we did, like, twice a month, is we would go to various nursing homes and perform at the nursing home for the seniors there. And I think that was one of the highlights I had, because they were so warm and caring and so happy to have us there.
Absolutely.
That it was just amazing. It was one of those things that just made you feel good. You know, it warmed your heart.
Sure. That's always been a reason why I wanted to get in music. I don't know if I initially said that, but when I was a kid, I remember my mom taking me to Salvation Army and Goodwill, and we used to put money into the red kettle bucket for Salvation Army. And when I was singing in church, I told my mom and my dad, you know, if I ever got the opportunity to be, you know, have a platform of some kind where people actually took an interest of what I was doing, that I wanted to be able to make some type of impact in the world. I always go back to that commercial with Sarah McLachlan with the dogs. And it was just like, that to me was just such a beautiful thing. Everybody loves dogs, and it's so hard to not look at, you know, a commercial where animals are abused, and she was using her talent to be able to raise awareness to that. And so those are kind of the things that initially just made me want to make music, was just to really just find a way to, you know, bring joy to people in life. And from singing in church to then the performing arts school, it just really gave me that consistency to allow me to move forward to where I am now.
And Isaiah, are you still in the South Carolina area, or I was under the impression you weren't in South Carolina at all anymore. You said you'd had to visit your family. So where do you live now?
Yes, sir. That is correct. So I'm from Aiken, South Carolina. I was born in North Carolina, and now I currently live in Chicago, Illinois. I've been living in Illinois for over 7 years, and I have not really been to Aiken, South Carolina to see my family for the last 3 years. So that is why I know so much about Aiken, because I definitely, that was my hometown for sure.
Right. Well, I've got a daughter, and my other daughter went to Loyola for 2 years. So we got to know Chicago pretty well, especially, what was the name of the Giordano's Pizza?
Oh, Giordano's?
That's a chain. What is it? What is the name
of it? Yeah, Giordano's.
Giordano's. I tell you, I think I made the classic error of going in with, I guess it was my daughter, myself, my wife, and we looked at the pizzas, and we said, I guess we need a medium. They didn't say anything. We had enough people to feed an army. We should have gone with half a small.
Maybe you're thinking of Luminati's, because there is Giordano's and then there's Luminati's. Luminati's is like the Chicago, like, staple of, like, pizza here. They're
both
good.
Began with a G. But it was the deep dish Chicago pizza. It was so good. And then I went to visit my daughter once, and we went to a restaurant called what's the name of the restaurant? It was called Carnival.
Okay.
It was kind of fusion, South American, Hispanic. It was great, and I know some people had cotton candy for dessert. They whipped up cotton candy for them, but it was in a huge room, colorful. It was just a great place. I always enjoyed visiting my daughter there at Loyola. Good place to visit, and Chicago is certainly a fun town. Why did you choose Chicago?
That is a great question. So after I graduated from high school, I got scouted by modeling agencies, and I was encouraged to move to New York. I tried that for a little bit of time, and there was a agent that discovered me on social media while I was living in New York. He offered to actually fly me to Chicago and help build a career for me. And so that's the reason why I moved to Chicago, was because it was kind of like I was under development under one person, and mm-hmm. I got to learn a lot about the Chicago market very quickly, and I'm very grateful for all the amazing opportunities that I've had in Chicago. When I was in Aiken, South Carolina, I wasn't really pursuing music. As I said, I was still in high school, so I'm very, very grateful to all of the wonderful doors that have opened in my life pursuing music here in Illinois.
Well, I would think also, you know, if New York is the first city and Chicago's second city, Aiken would be like 349th city or so, you know. So I can see Chicago would be a little larger market for you. I think it sounds like that was a pretty good move by moving to Chicago.
I lived in New York, and the way that I'm going to state this is that if you come from a small town in South Carolina and you move to New York, it is a massive change. You have to have a massive mindset where everything has changed. You know, it's not small towns and, you know, small locations. When I was in New York, it was really overwhelming, and I had to really learn, you know, how to take a taxi, ride a subway, you know, walk to castings from one town to another. You know, I got lost so many times. I mean, there's so many stories about New York. So when I got offered to go to Chicago, it was a lot easier for me to get around versus New York. Not saying that New York is bad. It's beautiful. I got to be in Times Square, work with a lot of really wonderful people. But it seems like for me, being in Illinois has been a lot easier for me to be able to maintain.
Yeah, I can see that. My other daughter that went to the governor's school was in New York for a number of years, and she lived in Brooklyn, different places. And the first place she lived in, when my wife went to visit her the first time, she moved into this little apartment. There was a crime scene in front of her apartment.
Oh gosh!
And it was pretty overwhelming. But she had a bunch of friends from college that were there. So as long as she had her friends, she still had a nice support network. But it's just everything I did in New York was always difficult. I mean, just to get from point A to point B, it was always difficult. And if you purchased something, then you had to schlep it on a subway, or it was just a huge hassle. Chicago was a lot more livable. When we'd visit in Chicago, we could go to...
You guys deserve T-shirts that should say, "I survived New York." I think it's a great place for me to watch on TV. It would literally destroy me to go there, because I think it's cool. I think it's awesome. I have respect for the people there. It looks amazing. I can't handle being out of the woods. Like, I don't even like going into the city of Columbia or Charleston, because I stay in the woods all the time. So I think if I went, and I've often thought about this, because I want to go to the Bronx Zoo in the worst way, And I thought, I could handle that. And I thought, it would devour me. I couldn't handle it. I would be lost within the first 30 seconds.
You could go to Brooklyn. Brooklyn was a zoo. Every time we went, there was a zoo everywhere we went.
Yeah, see, I just want to go to the Bronx Zoo. Like, if I could fly in, land inside the Bronx Zoo, enjoy my day, and fly back, I could survive that. I can handle the animals. It's the people I can't.
I agree with you 100%. So when I first went to New York, when I saw Times Square, I was like, oh, my gosh, this is nothing like the movies. Because, you know, in the movies, they just show everything so quickly. But if you've never been to a huge city, it's scary. I mean, I had just graduated high school. And I mean, I have nothing horrible to say about New York. You know, New York was so many wonderful memories for me. I got to work with a lot of great people. But, you know, it gave me a lot of anxiety to be able to find myself around everywhere. And coming from a small town where I'm used to, like, being in a very small location where, you know, our stores are right next to each other, or we don't have to take, you know, lots of transportation services. And then you go to New York and everything is about, you know, getting a taxi. I remember the first time I took a taxi, I was scared to do that. I remember the first time going on a... It was a very big learning experience for me. And I have nothing negative to say about it, but I'm very grateful that I have been able to have so many opportunities in Chicago. And I have a lot of followers that support me in New York as well. I guess it's just one of those, like I was saying, you have to have
a
certain mindset.
Culture.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and
it's kind of like people who live in the suburbs.
Yeah, and it's like, I see it on TV and I think, God, it would be so great to go there and just experience it. I wouldn't want to live there. I think it's a beautiful place for people that do. And I see different shows and things where they're on there, and I'm very intrigued. But then I thought, I don't know that I could maneuver it. Like, it would eat me alive because I'm so used to being out in the woods. And I consider a big city by New York standards is like the head of a pin. I'm like, I would never be able to get to point A to point B. And even to walk around the city with that many people, and John can attest to this, I'm an empath, as well as I can do some other things. And so I pick up everybody's energies. I pick up all their moods, their pain, their joy, all of it. So for me to go into New York City would literally be debilitating to me. And
it'd probably
like,
be overwhelming to you.
It would.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I know how to block all that. I have that ability that I can. But, my God, I would spend all my time blocking everything. So it's one of those things I'd like to go check it out. But then it's like I'm so claustrophobic, too, that I don't know that I could. I have a lot of respect for it. I think it looks amazing. And I would like to try it someday. But I have to admit I'm nervous.
One thing that I have really – Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
Oh, one thing I was going to say is leaving South Carolina, I have experienced so much that I probably would have never experienced if I had not left Aiken, South Carolina.
Yeah, and see, for me, South Carolina is more high pace only because I'm born and raised in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I moved here 3 years ago to be by my kids that had moved here and my grandchildren. So this was a culture shock even to me. You know, I grew up in a rural city that was actually pretty decent size. And then when I moved out of my home as a kid, I stayed in these little tiny two-horse towns that, you know, it wasn't even a mile long because that's what I liked. And I stayed out in the woods for various reasons. And I liked that. That works for me, you know, and I'm at peace that way. So then I moved to South Carolina, and the city that I'm in Orangeburg. And to me, that's a megatropolis. Like, I know the biggest thing in the world. And I'm like, this is huge here. And my husband's like, he was born and raised in Indiana, South Bend. And he's like, no, this isn't a very big town. And I said, are you insane? This place is enormous. like, where are my little two-horse towns, you know, that you have a gas station, a itty-bitty tiny little tavern or a restaurant, and the smallest grocery store known to mankind, and that inhabits my entire town that I live in. So, yeah, this to me is huge, so I can't even comprehend tackle in New York.
Well, you know, coming from Aiken, though, it would be a little bit of a change, certainly. But, you know, it's not just Aiken. It's not like that's the only place. Don't you have Allendale nearby, and you have these other huge metropolises just right available right from Aiken? Just kidding.
Yeah,
you got Allendale, all these other metropolises just surrounding Aiken.
Well, that is true.
What was that you just said?
Yeah.
Well, you've got Barnwell nearby, so you know you could go to another big city just right next to Aiken. Another huge metropolis, but I think Chicago's probably a better fit for you right now.
Yeah. Okay, Isaiah, I had the most telling experience of my life. I was in New York for the first time, and I was standing on a street corner, and a short little lady, she was a Hispanic lady, she tapped me on the shoulder. I said, "Yes, ma'am," and she held up my wallet, and she pointed her finger at me, and she said, "Don't carry your wallet in your back pocket without buttoning it." Oh, my God. I mean, that was all my – I mean, you know, I was so green. I was just from North Carolina. I didn't realize that you didn't do that. We don't button our back left pocket to carry our wallet down here. And it was like she was so nice to do that for me. But, I mean, she could have just walked away with all the money that I had saved up to go to New York City and everything. And I was – out for the first moment, I was terrified. I was terrified to be up there. And I just held on. I clutched onto my wallet. The rest of the trip, I was afraid somebody was going to get it. So that was my first experience in the big city, and thank goodness she was a nice lady. So anyway,
there are so many wonderful people that, you know, I'm very grateful that when I was in New York that I got to have the opportunity to meet a lot of people who would, gosh, I remember when I first went to New York, I would tell people I'm lost, and I would have people say, "Isaiah, don't do that. That's a great way of getting robbed." And, you know, I was on the phone with my parents all the time, like, "I don't know how to get here. I don't know how to get there." I talked to the police. I mean, I did all of it. So moving on from the conversation of New York, because I feel like I'll get so carried on from this. Sorry, though.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you something. You are definitely a citizen of the Internet. Your career, and so many of your fans know you through Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and all of the great platforms. Tell us a little bit about your social media presence, and tell us what happened to you last year, because it was a little bit of a calamity. Do you mind doing that?
Oh, yeah. Last year in 2020, in August, I was faced with probably one of the most devastating situations I've had to deal with within my actual personal music career. I was hacked on social media, and my identity was stolen. There was someone that went into my social media platforms and deleted over 7+ years of content. That means photos, videos, engagement, messages, memories that took me years to build, clients, it's all gone. On top of that, I had 4 Facebook profiles with 5,000 friends each, and I lost 3 of them. So now I have 1 with 5,000 friends. So it was kind of like my Rolodex of my career virtually, and I lost the majority of it. And it was very scary for me because I'm not going to lie, I really considered quitting completely because I had put so much time into, you know, building my career from it.
That's horrible, Isaiah. I mean, that is absolutely devastating. But now you're back on social media, so you still have a presence there. How from a security perspective, what did you do differently this time? I mean, do you have a backup of everything that is isolated, so you can never lose the material? How did you from a security perspective, how did you change how you conduct business on the internet?
That is a really good question, and the only way that I know how to answer that is I get easily anywhere to 200 to 400 Facebook friend requests from people a week. And In fact, when Joseph sent me a friend request, it took me a while to reply back to him. And I apologized to him saying, I'm sorry, you know, I just saw this message, but I'm one person. I get very scared now when people contact me because I'm hearing from people in Israel, Asia, Canada, Russia, Hawaii, Mexico, like all over the world. And they're like, hey, I just visited your website, or hey, I just listened to your music on Spotify, or someone told me about you. And like a part of me is so grateful, but on the other hand, I'm really scared because I don't know if I can trust them. Not saying that I don't trust human beings. It's just more of like that anxiety I kind of get sometimes of knowing if I can trust what's on the internet, because that's pretty much what happened. Someone sent me a Facebook friend request, asked to go to my fan page, and I sent them the link, and they literally went into my IP address and just started wiping out everything. My Instagram got affected by it, my Facebook, my website, my bank account. I mean, my website got affected by it. It was just way too much for me to deal with quickly. And, you know, the only damage control for me was thinking that I'm just going to stop. But on a positive note, the way that I was able to overcome it was that I wrote a song. It was called More Than Friends. And I believe that was probably, I don't know if you guys are going to talk about that song, but I'll just talk about it now. More Than Friends was created to, in my opinion, to hopefully stop online predators and hackers from doing this to other people. I have had so many conversations with people who have been taken advantage of or, you know, robbed on the internet because we as civilization trust so much of what people portray themselves to be online. And so instead of me giving up on my career completely after losing so much, I decided to do something positive and make a song and put it out there. And I'm really grateful that I was able to get the support from TV stations and radio stations to help promote it and play it, to kind of get that word out there. And, you know, it's a completely different sound for me. It's a completely different vibe. If you go on YouTube and just type in More Than Friends Isaiah Grass, you'll see the video. It's kind of dark, but it's meant to be that way because it was really to show people, like, be cautious of what you post online. Just because it looks great doesn't always mean it is great. And that's where I'm going to say that. That's where I'm trying to be.
First, I'd like to just say I am so sorry that you ever, ever had to go through that. I'm on Facebook quite a bit due to some research that I do, but I've gotten, because there's so many fellow researchers that daily are hacked. Like, it's right now it's at an all-time high. You're not the first person that I've heard of that has had that situation, although maybe not at that level, but there's other researchers that I know of where they've lost all their research that's been they've put out or whatever, anything that they've had that was ever on their account. So nobody that's had it lost to the grand amount that yours has, but definitely a lot of very precious things that were removed. So I just want you to know how sorry I am that you ever, ever had to go that. I mean that sincerely. Like when I'm on, like people will contact me that are referred to me from other people to help them with various situations. And they're like, we go on your wall, we don't see anything. And I don't, but that's why. Because I'm not in your situation where, you know, you are promoting yourself. That's sure. why, and that's what you have to do for your business. I don't have to do that because I don't have a business that I would have to. They contact me through word of mouth or sent to me or whatever because they need help with various things. So I don't, but it's terrifying because every day I go on there and I see one more researcher that's been hacked. And I'm getting all these things sent to me and I know that it's not from them, you know, so I don't either open it up or whatever. So that's just a really, really frightening situation that's going on now with social media. I'm just so sorry that you had to experience it, especially at that level.
That's very kind of you to say. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate that. I try to just move on from it and not think about it. You know, it's obviously a real thing. I lost a lot, and I'm just trying to just move forward the best I can. There's a lot of rebuilding. It's kind of like, you know, I would say my career right now is kind of like that game of Jenga, and all the blocks fell, and slowly we're putting stuff back together, and I am so incredibly grateful to every TV station, radio station, podcast, magazine, even client that wants to help, you know, support me or believes in what I'm doing, and to all of the amazing people who are supporting me in this time, and all of the people who are, you know, wanting to add me on Facebook or Instagram or any of this stuff. It's very humbling for me to know that people are by my side for that reason. So thank you so much.
Well, Isaiah, I know you won the Go ahead.
You won the 2013 Male Pop Co-Vocalist of the Year at the International Music and Entertainment Association, and then your first TV appearance was on the ABC Network was in January of 2016, I think. And now you've been on multiple co-hosted podcasts with John Stamian, the cast of GaryCast. So we are happy to help you rebuild your career.
But
you've accomplished
GaryCast,
a lot.
You've got our
You've accomplished a lot, and by continuing, you can build on those previous successes. So I hope that it's helped you accelerate to get back to where you need to be.
Absolutely.
Well,
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, before we go off the topic of the social media, I did have a quick couple of questions for you. Like,
okay.
I've seen you on social media, and you look extremely photogenic. Like, have you done a lot of modeling? I want to know if you've done a lot of modeling, and if so, did that fit in with any of your singing at all?
Well, thank you for that compliment. That's very flattering. You know, I try to be very grateful to anyone who feels that I have the potential of being a blank canvas for whatever they're creating. To answer your question, I have been very fortunate to work with clients who have chosen me to be in magazines and commercials and billboards and advertisements, but I've
it's
also
so fabulous.
Thank you, but I don't like to really think of it as that's my main focus. When I was talking to you guys about New York, When I first started in New York, you know, I had no experience, and I was going to talent agencies, and a lot of people were giving me a lot of feedback, and I worked with a bunch of wonderful photographers, and it really helped me to have thick skin. It helped me to be confident, to be okay with getting my pictures taken, and to be able to talk publicly in front of people. I think those are very big skills that are required to be in the music industry. And for that, I'm very grateful that I got those tools when I first started to be able to do them now in this career, because it's helped me an enormous amount to be able to communicate with people or be on camera or stand on stage or, you know, even be criticized or, you know, even deal with hardships and in life. It's tremendously helped me a lot, and I'm very grateful to all the clients who've helped me along the way.
Well, Now, what's your favorite type of social media? And the other question, I did have a couple questions about your social media. I want to know what your favorite type was. And, you know, are you using it as you get your new fans and keep them updated? And then also, do you have any merchandising that you do through social media? And, you know, how could we get some of these things, like T-shirts or any type of music or what other things that you have put out there that are available?
Absolutely. So thank you for asking those questions. I would say that before I used to have someone handling all of my social media platforms. Now, during this pandemic, a lot of things have changed. So I'm more hands-on myself. That's why it's taking me a whole lot longer. You know, I'm saying this in the most humble way. I have over 1,000 unread messages right now on Facebook, over like 500 unread messages on Instagram. And so I encourage people all the time, like, please just leave a comment on my post. Don't send me a message, because it's just going to be another message that I'm not going to see for a week later. I mean, Joseph can tell you it took me a while to get back to him. But I would say right now what I'm using the most are my Instagram and my Facebook. I recently got verified as a singer on Instagram and Facebook. I'm very grateful for it. Yeah. Yeah, it's been a long process. It didn't just come to me. So those are the two platforms that I promote the most. And then as far as keeping people updated, I recently created a TikTok. I had a lot of people saying, when are you going to get on the TikTok train? And I've been posting some videos. I'm not the type of person to really post 4 to 6 times a day. I feel like there's a lot more that I could be doing with my time. And so what I try to do is I try to spread out content as much as I can. I'll give you an insight. I have about 700 videos on my phone, and I have them just so that when I need to share content, I can just, like, click and upload them. And instead of having to, like, instead of, like, spending a week, you know, creating content, because there's a lot of people that do that.
Yeah.
I don't have time for that. Yeah. As far as my merchandise goes, I am so incredibly grateful to so many people around the world that have been buying my merch. You know, during this pandemic, all of my shows got canceled. And I'm just like all the other musicians, and we're all just trying to figure it out. And I had a lot of people messaging me saying, hey, do you have any merch? And before the pandemic, I created a lot of merch that I was going to start providing to at my shows, but that didn't happen. So I'm very proud of all the merch that I have available. It's anything from custom underwear that my team and I created, or we have coffee cups, we have hoodies and long sleeve t-shirts, we have tank tops, we have posters and CDs. I mean, it's almost like a little mini Walmart. I just did that so that everybody felt like there was something.
Please give us a link, because we want everybody to we want everybody to know where they can get these things. It sounds fabulous.
So if you guys, I mean, I'm so proud of everything that we've created. One thing I can state is that if anyone is to buy a CD or a poster, I will personally sign it myself. If they're to buy any apparel, it is shipped from my warehouse, so I can't actually sign it, but I can absolutely, you know, provide a personal message. If you guys want to help support my music career, you can go to my website at isaiahgrassmusic.com, and on my website there is a tab that says store. And then when you go on the store, you can see everything there, and you can just select whatever it is. I also have Zoom calls, so if anyone wants to do a meet and greet with me, we can do that as well, where I believe it's like a 15 or 20-minute Zoom call, and they get to pick a song of mine, and I sing it to them, and they can ask me questions. And it's just a fun way of me being able to engage with people, and they can also download my albums that are on my website. So there's a lot of fun things. On top of that, they can go on my website at isaiahgrassmusic.com, and they can actually sing along to my songs. There's karaoke videos, and there's a remix album. There's actually a mixer thing on my website where they can actually mute my vocals and they can create a whole instrumental. I just try to do a lot of different things that people can feel like they're actually with me, even though I'm not with them right now.
Let me ask you this. Would it be possible when the show's over for you to send those links to John? And if it would be all right with your permission, I would love to put it on our Scary Cast page on Facebook and maybe spread it around. I'm in over 300 groups, which is ridiculous, but I get put in them with or without my consent. And I would love to, with your permission. Yeah. But I would love to, with your permission, Isaiah, put that link around for you, because I think you've got some incredible ideas. You are just an unbelievable talent. I would just
love to be a part
of helping you get that. I would love to be able to be a part of helping get that out for you.
That is incredibly kind of you. I truly appreciate that, and I definitely will make sure to be able to provide those links to Joseph after
the
interview.
I'll send you a friend's request as well on Facebook. I mean, get to it when you can, obviously. And then, you know, anything like that, send it to me. And as long as you would like me to do it, I will be happy to spread that all over.
That is so kind of you. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. It's my pleasure. I just love that you share this with us.
Robin is my conscience.
Well,
she reminds me of everything because I have no memory. I was in the hospital about 9 weeks ago, and I have no memory.
Yeah.
And I get these random texts that says, do this. And it's like, oh, that's right. She's supposed to remind me. So that's okay.
Yeah, I run a lot of things for a lot of people on Facebook and off Facebook, so it's just kind of what I do. So I'm not trying to be pushy, but I just think that you've got such an incredible talent, and I also read energy, and I know that sounds crazy. John knows I'm legit. Trey knows I'm legit, but I know how crazy it sounds, but you have an incredible, incredible energy about you, and you really, have a heart of gold. And just, you know, even your talent aside, which is just extreme, what I get off of you is you are an incredible human being. And you need to be celebrated. And if I can help in any way to get any of your information out or links for people to buy your merchandise or your music, I would be honored to help you with that.
That is so incredibly kind of you for you to say that. You know,
John, I don't say things I don't mean.
No, she doesn't. Well, she is the most direct person in the world.
Well, first off, Joseph, I wanna say that I'm sorry that you're in the hospital, and I hope that everything has gotten better for you, and that whatever medical issues you were having, that the doctors were able to take care of them. And second, thank you so much, Robin, for being so thoughtful and considerate and wanting to help support my music. That's very kind of you. Thank you so much.
It is strictly my pleasure. Like I said, I read energy, and you are just incredible inside and out. I mean, your talent speaks for itself, but I think just you, what I get off your energy from you as a human being is extraordinary. It would be an honor and a privilege to help you any way I could.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
All right. Now, I tell you what, Isaiah, please do send those links. And I'll put those at the very top of ScaryCast, along with I'm going to pin this interview there so that everybody can find you, because I think, you know, we're going to leave it up there for 2 weeks. By the way, group, we're off next week because we're going to leave Isaiah's interview up there 2 weeks as number one, and I think it's important, and we're going to just spend a couple weeks promoting it and having a good time doing that. So anyway, I want to say thanks a lot to our sponsor, Transamerica Life Insurance. Without Transamerica, we would not be here. And so if you need any Transamerica Life Insurance, call 843-655-8775. That's me, and I'll take care of you. But anyway, we've got Isaiah Grass tonight, and we're having a wonderful time. Now, Isaiah, I've got a big event happened to you, I guess, last year, and it began in 2019, and you had a brush with the fame and fortune of American Idol. Can you tell us about that experience? I mean, I know that's something a lot of your fans would like to know about, and we'd like to hear direct from you how all that happened and what went down.
Absolutely, and you would be 100% correct. There are so many people that still today in 2021 are wanting to know about me being on American Idol. So the producers from American Idol reached out to me on social media, and they invited me to audition for the executive producers. And needless to say, I'm very grateful for the opportunity. I was speechless when Katy Perry, Lionel Richie, and Luke Bryant stood up on their own simultaneously and started singing along with me during my audition. It was surreal when Ryan Seacrest asked to interview me and I got to meet him. I mean, that was just cool on its own. And as well as being able to really have an opportunity to know what it's like to be on national television. As you said, I did get a glimpse of what that life is like. Now, there was a lot that was not shared. I have no control of any type of editing. I have no control of what's posted on my behalf. But I can tell you that when I was on American Idol, during my actual audition, they had asked me why did I want to go on the show. And I told them that when I was younger, I was severely bullied, and I wanted to go on the show to really encourage people that if they've ever gone through anything in their life where they've doubted themselves, that hopefully by me being there that day, it would encourage them to believe in themselves or a dream. I had also talked to them about telling them that as a singer, I do work as an influencer, and by as an influencer, I work with a lot of charity organizations. Because as I mentioned to you at the beginning of the interview, since I was a little kid, I've always had the desire to be able to give back in whatever way I possibly can. And by doing so, I do work with children's hospitals, and I work with foundations, and I work with cancer awareness, and I work with even, you know, the Goodwill and Salvation Army and just so many organizations. Because, again, I made an oath to myself that if I was to be doing music, that I would try to use my music or my platform, whatever that may be, to the best way to help back, you know, the society. Unfortunately, American Idol didn't share that footage, and it really could have helped a lot of people in the universe who struggle with self-doubt, anxiety, being bullied, you know, feeling like they're different. And I really wanted to really portray that on television, and unfortunately it wasn't. So I definitely encourage people to learn more about me by going to my website, isaiahgrossmusic.com, and, you know, just listening to some of my songs and getting an understanding of who I am. I will forever be grateful for the exposure that American Idol gave me, the amazing new fans that were watching American Idol that saw me and they chose to follow me and, you know, buy my merch and listen to my music and just overall just believe in what I do. And that is a memory that I will never forget. And that is where we leave that.
Well, that's wonderful. And thank you for sharing that. I want to do something. We had kind of written down what we were going to talk about in order, but I'd like to make just a small change. You were talking about your experiences with bullying and your song, where is it in the list? More Than Friends. Tell us a little bit about it, and can I go ahead and play that? I think it would be appropriate, don't you?
Absolutely. So More Than Friends, as I was mentioning, More Than Friends is about people being hacked on the internet and, you know, just being cautious. And the reason why I said more than friends is because sometimes you have to be very cautious when people do want to be more than friends. You know, as a singer,
right,
I get so many messages from people. I'm not going to call anyone out, but I get a lot of appropriate messages from people on a daily basis. And I think in some way people think it's flattering to me. But on the other hand, it makes me very concerned and cautious of wanting to trust what I'm opening up. And, you know, I feel like since being on American Idol or being on television in general, if people go on my website, isaiahgrassmusic.com, they can see all the different TV interviews I've done. I feel the more that I'm more publicly seen, the more I keep getting people to find me.
Attack.
And although it's wonderful, you know, I was just talking to my mom about this earlier. It's kind of like, you know, when you see a garden of flowers, it's beautiful. But sometimes there also is the dirt and the worms and there's the mud. And it sometimes seems like those are the things that I attract. Because the more that people see me online, the more I am, you know, receptive to, you know, scammers and hackers and, you know, people that aren't making the best decisions. And so I have to be very cautious about who I accept, what I share, what I post. And, you know, I do have people that do look over my content beforehand and they read over my messages and read over my comments just for that exact reason. And that is why I made that song More Than Friends, to let people know to be careful of what they post and don't always trust what you see online.
But, you know,
well,
too,
right.
The people
when you go online, it's a big blank slate, and there are lots of nut jobs as well as evil intended people in the world. I mean, that's just the way the world is. And social media has given a lot of these people that you would not want to be a friend with access to
right.
you in ways before social media. They'd never have that ability. So
sure.
it
yeah.
is good to be cautious because we usually take people at face value, but when you don't know the
absolutely.
Person, you don't know where they're
well,
from or who they are or who their friends are. You just can't trust
well,
them.
Well, the people that have my experience for whatever it's worth, the people that have the brightest energy and the purest energy, like you do, the people that don't have that and have the darker energy, they try to destroy the light. They want to bring down the brightest energy because not only out of jealousy, but they don't want you to shine. They want you down on their level, which they put themselves on that level. But so the people that seem to have this brighter energy, they seem to be the ones that get attacked even more. But I agree with Trey. You know, you get out there and it is this blank slate and you just don't know who you're coming across. But I absolutely know that, you know, the brighter your energy, the better a person you are, the negativity from these other people, they try to destroy that. They don't want you to succeed because you are on that level above.
That is so spot on. I mean, I have had to learn that so much. I'm the type of person where, and here's a great example. When I see homeless people, I always give them money. And I feel so horrible for people that are homeless. But a lot of times, you know, it's kind of like sometimes people do take, you know, advantage of people's kindness. And sometimes people aren't
oh, yeah.
homeless when they try to portray it. Or sometimes people try to portray themselves that they're a very loving person, and then you find out that they're not like that. And, you know, I've just had to learn so much throughout my career, especially after being hacked, that although I'm grateful for everyone's support, I still have to be able to put a filter in between myself, kind of like a mask, like with COVID. I have to put a mask on spiritually, mentally, and emotionally sometimes when I'm around people or when people are contacting me, just for my own well-being as well.
Yeah, and that's good that you do that. Have you been affected a lot with COVID? Has that really been a game changer for you?
I wouldn't, as far as like health-wise, no, I've been very healthy, but I have not really left the house very much at all. I'm sorry, what?
But it's certainly been devastating to the entertainment industry in general.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll be very candid to you. I have had anxiety from it. I've just because of the fact that, you know, I was really used to performing for people and being able to meet people and work with different clients. And it was one of those situations where I felt bad because after being hacked and I had lost so much already as it was, then COVID hit. And then it was like, okay, Isaiah, what are you going to do now? So what I've tried to do as a positive to help me get through COVID is I've been taking online classes, teaching myself. I actually just got my business license so that I have my own company.
Great. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you so much. You know, I've just been trying to do a lot of positive things instead of stressing myself out and giving myself unneeded anxiety. So when you talk about having good energy, I don't want people on this world, like on this podcast thinking that I'm perfect, because I definitely am not. We all have our flaws, but I try really hard.
Yeah, perfection is an illusion.
Absolutely. I try really hard to use my platform, my lyrics, or just in general, like what I'm doing, to really be able to let other people know that they're not alone. You know, for example, I wrote a song called Wherever You Are during the pandemic, and it is about people who are really suffering and, you know, feeling like they can't turn to anyone. And that was me as well talking about that, because I was dealing with anxiety and I was dealing with losing lots of clients and I was dealing with not being around people and I was dealing with so many things that a lot of people were dealing with. And instead of, you know, getting on the woe is me train, I made it into something positive to let people know, like, hey, no matter what you see of me on the internet, I'm still just like you. I still bleed just like you. I still cry just like you. And I'm not capable of not dealing with these things without, you know, having some type of emotion. And so when I created that song, it was really to just let people know that we're all human beings and it's okay to have struggles. But at the end of the day, we can always turn to God and we can always turn to a loved one. I mean, I have prayed to God so many times. I've called my family so many times. And so, you know, that's just really what I'm all about, is just trying to let people know that no one is better than anyone. And I hope that when people hear my music, that it can help people. I had one person tell me that my song Wherever You Are actually helped them to stop taking medication. I had one person tell me that my song Wherever You Are, they dedicated it to their, you know, to their husband that passed away, and they play it for him at his grave. And that,
oh,
like,
my God,
brought me to tears.
Oh, my God, it's beautiful.
It brought me to tears just to think
here,
that.
Isaiah, everybody needs to hear these two songs. So let's go first with More Than Friends, okay? More Than Friends, Isaiah Grass here on Scary Way.
Make sure to listen to
I don't mean to be a creeper, but I really, really need you. Come on, open up your DMs. Yeah, I'm not in so much data. I will follow your leader so we can be more than friends. Looking at you from across the room. Can't help myself but zoom, zoom, zoom. Watching as your body move left to right. This is something about you all day and night. Pulling out my cell phone, scrolling through your photos.
Yeah. I'ma take you home. Got this feeling deep inside that I need to come alive. We got so much chemistry, baby, it's just you and me. Nothing else really matters. I just want you close to me. Fantasy, we can
sweeter, I will follow you, the leader, so we can be more than friends.
We can be more than friends. We can be more than friends.
That's fantastic.
Man, that was very good.
You wrote that.
That was incredible. You got an amazing voice.
Thank you so much. You should hear my other songs. I mean, that's just one.
I'm gonna be listening to a couple more.
Okay, I want everyone to hear next, wherever you are. Here's Isaiah Grant.
Wherever you are. There's no time to hesitate, let it happen naturally, when you're with me. Enjoy yourself without the stress, there's no need to second guess, what you feel or see. When it's dark I'll be your light, there's no need for you to hide, I will always be there for you. When you're scared and lost your way, I'm gonna be there for you. Oh, wherever. Something new. Water underneath the bridge. Leave and learn to forgive those who have done us wrong. When it's dark, I'll be your light. There's no need for you to hide. I will always be there for you. When you're scared and lost your way, everything will be okay. I'm gonna be there for you. Oh,
where?
Wow.
That
incredible Isaiah Glass.
I'm going to be like singing that all night
long. Especially like
now.
Isaiah
I just
was
know.
The contrast between the first and the second one. The first one was dark. The second one was lovely.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate you guys saying that.
I'm going to be singing that in my head all night and all day tomorrow. That is just one of the most incredible songs I've heard in a very long time. Very impressive.
Wow. All right, Isaiah. I guess I've got to turn them on to the one that they have got to hear. Being an old jazz musician, and I've played a lot. And this song right here, this is the song that he sang on ABC television in Chicago. Is that correct, Isaiah?
Yes. Yeah, so in 2016, I had my first TV appearance, and it was on Windy City Live, and I got the opportunity to sing a song called "Climb Over Mountains." And that is this song right here.
And everybody, this song is a monster. Scary Cast presents Climb Up.
That's wonderful.
Wow.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm very
grateful.
That's kind of
like a top 10 song forever.
Wow.
It really is.
Thank you.
And so, well, you're welcome. And here's what I'd like to do, as we do at the end of all of our shows. We've got about 10 minutes, and I'd like for us to just talk a little bit about what we've learned about you. You've done some great work. You've done some great things. You've helped a lot of people. So where do you want to go from here? I know that's the world's most terrible question, but where do you want to go from here? You've got a lot of potential. Well, more than potential. So where do you want to go? And I'd like for Robin and Trey to join in. And I'm just going to listen because I talk too much. All right, Isaiah, where do you want to go from here? You've got a long way to go for sure.
You know, that is a very open-ended question. And so my answer is, first, in 2021, during this pandemic, I wanted to do something to really make people feel happy instead of feeling very gloomy at home. We're all facing the same type of emotions. So I created a new dance remix album. It's called Dance and Love. It's 9 high-energy dance remixes, and I got to collaborate with so many talented DJs from around the world. It's perfect for
awesome.
Exercising, dancing, cleaning your house, and just most importantly, having fun. That is something that I did this year. I'm very grateful. I keep saying this because I am an independent artist, and I am just so grateful to every TV station and every radio station and podcast and everyone who is giving me the opportunity to be able to share my music, share my story, and to just definitely just be able to get to know people, because this is a very competitive industry and I don't take any of this for granted. And that is why I try to do everything I possibly can to be able to give back where I can as well. I mean, we're all in this situation right now during this pandemic, so all musicians are in the same mindset where we're wondering what's going to happen next. I do have a upcoming TV performance. We're waiting in the next couple of days for it to get confirmed. I don't want to say it just yet because I don't want to jinx myself, but I encourage people to go to my website at isaiahgrassmusic.com to be able to first click the follow button, sign up on my website with either your Facebook or your email, and in exchange, I'll send you free music. And also, you get to be able to just keep in touch with me. If you have social media, you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook or TikTok, or even just be able to Google my name and you'll be able to find everything about me. But besides that, I really want people to know once again that whatever they're dealing with in their life, that no matter what they feel, if they are alone, I'm a prime example of letting them know as well that we all go through hardships in life. And as long as we turn to a loved one or God, we can get through it. You know, it doesn't mean that it's not going to be difficult, but I'm a prime example of having to deal with some quite difficult things, but being able to turn it into something positive. And, you know, just talking about the fact that doing something kind or doing a good deed for a perfect stranger is actually going to make a huge impact in someone else's life more than you ever know. There are so many people right now that are dealing with anxiety and they're dealing with financial loss. And I mean, unfortunately, even people who have actually lost people. And we all just need to be kind and spread love in whatever way we can and show friendship to others. And so I encourage you that if you ever see someone that needs help, just be kind and just have empathy for others, because you just really don't know what that person next to you is dealing with in their life. And I'm a big believer in that just giving back and just trying to, you know, bring happiness and the best way that you can. And that's kind of the statement that I want to leave off with, is that just be kind to others. And whatever songs people haven't been able to hear of mine, they can listen to them all on Spotify. or they can go to my website, isaiahgrassmusic.com, and they can actually buy my albums so that they can listen to them at their own leisure on their computer or on their phone or on their iPod or whatever it may be. And that if they'd like to stay in touch with me, leave a comment on my social media posts, and I will definitely love to be able to, you know, engage with them. And I thank you guys so much for taking the time out of your day on a Monday to, you know, do this interview with me, show the interest of wanting to listen to my music and share who I am to your viewers as well. And I don't take this for granted, and I'm truly grateful for this opportunity. So thank you so much.
Wow, thank you.
Well, Isaiah,
Dr. Troy Donaway.
Rob,
you're next. What do you
think? No, go ahead, Troy. You're fine. Troy's fine.
Well, I don't have a question so much, but I just want to make an observation and unsolicited advice is that sometimes when you're a giving person, and you are, Isaiah, it's clear that you're a giving person, doors will open up for you. You just never know when they're going to open up or what they're going to do, but good things will come for this. I absolutely know that. But again, you just got to be careful who's more than a friend, because you got to be cautious. But when you give, you'll receive it back. I am a firm believer in that. And it's been my experience is when you're looking for a direction, when you're looking for something to happen, as long as you're still a giving person and you're still out in circulation and you're meeting people, things will find a way to you. And I wish you the very best, but I don't think I need to give you very much wish for luck, because I think you're going to do just great. And it was a pleasure meeting you.
Thank you so much, sir. I truly appreciate those kind words. And I agree with you 100% that, you know, not everyone is out there to be kind. And I want to elaborate that More Than Friends is not only about hackers, but it's also about online predators. Of, you know, so many people are taken advantage of all age groups. And I just, the song was really meant to share that, you know, just be careful in general, you know, be careful with your kids, be careful as an adult, be careful going on dates alone, be careful on what you post, just overall, just have caution of what you do. Because not everyone has their best intentions for you in life.
Yep, that's it. That's true.
Absolutely, Trey. Well, thank you, Dr. Trey Donaway, the Surgeon General of ScaryCast. We appreciate those words. Robin, the Queen of ScaryCast, what have you got to say to...
Oh, my gosh, so much and little time to do it. But I want to say, first of all, you know, so much of what you said resonated with me because, as John knows, I say a lot of the very similar things. Like, I'm the person that takes homeless people in off the street. Will go and help people I don't even know. And this is what I do 98% of my life. I also work with a large group of people that I donate my time to help them, and I do this because they're all around the world. I do this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So what you said resonated with me on such a level, I can't even begin to explain that to you. And I think that you are going to go so far, not only in the music industry, but just in life itself, because of the human being that you are. I think that one of the things I preach to everybody all the time is the biggest problem with our world is we have no compassion. Simple human kindness seems to have been put on the back burner for whatever reason. And I'm always imploring people to wake up and be compassionate. Be kind, because that's what our world is lacking. And until that starts to be our normal again, our world is not going to move forward, because we have to move forward together or it's not going to work. So I hold you in the highest regard just because of what I heard come out of you, because that are things that I hold near and dear and that I preach at the highest level to anybody that I can get to sit still long enough to listen. So I just think you're an incredible human being, an incredible performer. I did send you a friend's request, and I sent you a message that just said, hi, enjoy talking to you on ScaryCast, so you knew it was me. So whenever you get time to answer any of that, that's fine, and just send me links so that I can help you get this out. Like, I don't want anything. I just want to be able to help you get it out, because I just think that, number one, you're an untapped resource as a human being and as a performer. And I have to admit, you know, I was excited to do the show tonight, and then after hearing you, not even before the music, I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm so blessed to even have been on the show with you tonight. Because I very seldom do. I get that impressed with another human being, and you blew me away just on a human level,
as well as
the music.
That is so, so incredibly kind of you to say. First off, before I forget, I just accepted your friend request. So
thank you.
It's there. It's there just now. And a second, you know, it means so much that someone like you believes in what I do and wants to help support this. And it's definitely a sincerity about who I am. I try very hard to be. I'm not the typical
you're
type
legit.
Of artist.
No, you're not. I wish more were like you. No, I'm not either. I'm just saying that your humility is just breathtaking. Just breathtaking. And
well, I've gone through a lot of things, so I've had to learn how to grow from them, and I'm not the only one that has to grow, and so that's why I've been really trying to create songs that will relate to that. I have a new song. Hopefully I can release it this year. It's called I Need You, and I mean, to me, the song is about having anxiety within yourself. Some people can take it as, you know, loving someone, but knowing when to forgive someone. You know, because
it's all part of it.
And so that's really where I just try to take my music, is just trying to figure out a way to, you know, help others. I'm not trying to portray myself as Mother Teresa. I'm just trying to portray myself as someone.
No, and I don't feel that you are. I feel you're completely honest and legitimate and heartfelt. That's what makes
you so amazing.
Like, I don't get this worked
thank
up
you.
Over that many people. And you are just as honest and as legitimate as possible. That's just such a beautiful and refreshing thing that we just don't see very often. So I'm blown away, not only by you as an artist, but as you as a human being is just mind-boggling to me.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you taking the time to be in this call with us.
You know, Isaiah,
I'm
going to speak for all of us. We've had a wonderful time. I've got one simple question. Will you come back?
Absolutely. I'd love to do this again.
Well, good. Well, you better, because we're going to ask you again, and it'll be sooner than later. So I wanted to say thank you so much, Isaiah Grass. Please, everybody, enjoy it and go to isaiahgrassmusic.com, click shop, and join him in the great things he's doing. So we'll see you in 2 weeks, but please re-listen to this great podcast on scarycast.com and WLSC AM and FM, Loris, South Carolina. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for coming on, Isaiah. Good night, y'all.
Bye.
Thank you.